Father, we thank you that we can gather in your name. And Lord, there is a time to be born, a time to die in these bodies. And Lord, we're all here for just a short season. But the glorious news is when we choose to be with you forever because of recognizing the plan of reconciliation that you have for all of your created humans. Lord, and so Cherry, with you now out of that pain-ridden body and out of the really prison of that body, so to speak. And we pray for the whole family that they would come to know you through this, and those in the family that don't, may they see that hope, that living hope. And so I lift up the service on Thursday that it would be really a message of hope and conviction to the extent that we're all going to take our last breath one day. And so, Lord, bless Howard through this time and comfort him, strengthen him, and go before him. Bless him, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Amen to that, huh? Well, turn to chapter 11 of the book of Revelation. We have the first part of this chapter, still a filler, so to speak, filling in what's already been happening. And then we'll move forward before the end of the chapter. But today, I think I told you we'd go through 14 verses. Well, I think we'll get through four. So not quite moving as fast as I had thought we might. So I'll read the first six, and then we'll just discuss a few little questions. Chapter 11, verse 1, then I, John, was given a reed like a measuring rod, and the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God, the altar, and those who worship there. But leave out the court which is outside the temple, and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles, and they will tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months, 3.5 years. And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days, again, 3.5 years, clothed in sackcloth. How would you like to be clothed in sackcloth for 3.5 years? These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands standing before the God of the earth, and if anyone wants to harm them, fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies. And if anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this manner. These have power to shut heaven so that no rain falls in the days of their prophecy. And they have power over waters to turn them to blood and to strike the earth with all plagues as often as they desire. Okay, well, what do we know today and what are we learning today? Verses 1 and 2, what do you think the purpose of measuring the temple of God is? Okay, well, we'll discuss that a little bit more. What or which temple is being spoken of as being measured? When is the last days? Well, there's no temple there today, so it has to be one that's built, right? And there is this the last temple that we're speaking of here? The millennial temple comes later. Revelation is the end of the Bible, but it's not the end of the chronology. We have the Ezekiel temple in the last chapters of Ezekiel, if you remember, that's the millennial reign temple, which occurs after the tribulation, right? So if this temple is being introduced here to John to measure it, and we are basically in the middle of the tribulation here at this point in chapter 11. So it's amazing to me, it just kind of strikes me as odd when all the wrath of God is being poured out on the earth and all of a sudden it's, we'll go to this temple and measure it. But we'll talk about that a little bit more. So, do you see any problem in chapter 11 that in the middle of God's wrath being poured out on the earth, we see instructions for John to measure the temple of God, the altar, and those who worship there? Who do you think will worship there?
The Jews.
Amen. So, In verse 2, why is John told not to include the court outside the temple?
It's for the Gentiles.
For the Gentiles. Amen. Okay, here's a good one for you, maybe. When, I'm hoping you'll give me answers because I don't know the answers to any of these questions. When do you think construction of the tribulation temple will begin? Does the Bible tell us that?
No.
One of the points that I think we need to be clear on is the Bible doesn't say. The Bible doesn't even say how much time will be between the rapture and the beginning of the tribulation, does it? There could be some extended time there. We tend to think once the church is taken out and the restraining power of the Holy Spirit against the evil forces is removed, that literally all hell is going to break loose on earth, which is commensurate with the Great Tribulation starting. But we aren't really told in the Bible. The only thing we're told in the Bible is come up here, and it's already been 2,000 years, well, almost 1,900 years plus, since that command was given, in a sense, at least as far as it's written goes. And so we don't have an immediate come up here. We don't have that. That's prophetically, it hasn't happened yet, and we don't know when it's going to happen. I don't think we're told in the Bible when the tribulation temple will commence building, but I would say this, if you see it building, we're really, really close. Now, we do know there is a temple institute right now that's already made all the implements and all that kind of stuff. We know there's a big fight over there right now between those, that brand of orthodoxy and the other brand of orthodoxy, because the true Orthodox Jews do not favor that temple at all, because it's going backward to the time before before the new covenant, and they're really looking to the millennial temple as the temple that they're focusing on after the Messiah comes. They believe the Messiah is coming. They just don't, the Orthodoxy generally don't believe Jesus was the Messiah. They believe the Messiah is still coming. And after he comes, then there will be the millennial temple. And that will be their third temple as they define three temples. We had in our study earlier that there are basically at least five temples that we want to look at, but they don't count them all. Of course, we had Solomon's temple, which was the most grandiose, the big one. Then it got destroyed, by Babylon because of the judgment of God being poured out on Judah. We spent the whole book of Ezekiel on that almost. And then we have these two fellows, Zerubbabel and Joshua. Zerubbabel being the civic leader and Joshua the high priest, who were instrumental in coming back under the decree of Cyrus and reestablishing Jerusalem. And so we'll talk about that more today. And then we had them rebuild the temple. It was much smaller than the Solomon temple. And you remember the story, all the old guys who had been children when they saw Solomon's temples, they were in tears. Some of them were in tears because there was a temple built again, praise God. And the other were in tears because it was such a small little structure compared to the magnificent Solomon temple. Now, years later, Herod took that same temple that was built during the time of Zerubbabel and Ezra and Nehemiah and Joshua, the high priest, not Joshua, the guy who had the Battle of Jericho. And he spent 46 years building and rebuilding and making it beautiful. It never did rise to the point of Solomon's temple, but it was still a magnificent structure. Then that was destroyed by the Romans, right? In 67 to 70 AD. And since then, there's been no temple. Right? So we have no temple there today. So we come here into this chapter and we go, wow, there is a temple because he's got to measure it, right? Okay, so we'll talk about that a little bit more later. Now, how do we know the temple will be of ancient design? There is an outer court of the Gentiles, right? We've got a very distinctive difference between Jews and Gentiles here, which will not be the case in the millennial temple. Millennial temple, we're all one in Christ. But here they're going to go back to the old days, to the separation of Jews and Gentiles. Now the Gentiles are not promised much during the tribulation, although multitudes will come to the Lord, but there's a lot promised to Israel in the last part of the tribulation, is there not? Who will dedicate the temple? It has to be dedicated or it wouldn't be called the temple of God. And it is in the scripture called the temple of God, by the way. Who will be dedicating that temple? Well, who's building the temple? The Jews. So they'll be dedicating the temple. They'll build it. And they call it the temple of God, and the Bible calls it the temple of God, interestingly enough. We'll read about that in 2 Thessalonians 2:4 a little bit. What is one of the most serious problems that exists today for that temple to be rebuilt? Turn back to your photo page, if you will. I hope the photos are adequate that you can see a little bit of this. And those of you who have been to Israel, this is, you've already seen this. But if you look in the upper left-hand corner, or the upper left-hand corner of the four pictures, you see an aerial view of what we call the Temple Mount. All the way on the left side, you see a building being built that sticks out into the Temple Mount flat area. That's called the Al-Aqsa Mosque. That is one possible location of the original Holy of Holies in the Solomon Temple, believed to be one possibility for it to be there. That's why they built the mosque there. The other possibility that exists is under the Dome of the Rock. If you go to the right of that structure, actually center of the picture, you see this huge dome, and those of you who've been there see that's all covered in gold, and so it's a real significant landmark of the city of Jerusalem. That's the Dome of the Rock, and that's where the Arabs thought that the Holy of Holies was, and that's where they built their Dome of the Rock. There is a third, actually there's a couple of more locations too, but there's three primary points of probable location of the old Holy of Holies under the Solomon Temple. And the third one is the dome here that we see in the right picture of the top, the Dome of the Tablet. And what it has some bedrock sticking up through the floor there that you can't really see, right in the center of this cupola here. And if you look at the left picture again, and you go clear up to the very top corner of it, you can hardly see it, but if you look real carefully, you might be able to see those arched backways there, and there's one little black dot there. That's where this Dome of the Tablet is. So, as you look at that, if you would draw a line down just to the right of the Dome of the Rock, all the way from the center of the photo down, pretty much down to the bottom of the photo, you would see, and then everything to the right of that, including those trees, you probably have close to 20 acres there of land. You got plenty of land to build a new temple there if the Arabs would allow you to do it without fomenting a World War III. Now, we'll have a number of things going, so that's one of the most serious problems. How are you going to do that? Well, of course, we're told right here that there's going to be an outer court of the Gentiles and not to measure that. So we're going to have an outer court of the Gentiles, right, because that's specifically mentioned. And what you can do, Bill Clinton says, you just build a wall and you put United Nations forces on it and they'll keep peace. So that's worked so well in the past that in these little skirmishes where they call them the United Nothing is what they call the United Nations. And it has never worked. And, of course, it certainly wouldn't work here because this is going to be a much bigger concern when you've got 20% of the population of the earth, Muslims,